Boom, there we go. What's up, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That
Hurt
was the
people?
problem. I logged in the same account, so just have to.
Okay. Well, people get this. I could edit this out, but people get free content, so that's fine. They get to hear our struggle.
What's going on, man?
Not much, not much. All right. Well, I would do an intro, but people don't need that. They can just hear us talk and know that this is the weekly show. And they now know that the guest for this week is obviously Flex Fox. He's asking me how I'm doing, and I'm awesome. Flex, how are you doing?
I'm fucking tired, bro. I just got back from a big workout run. Literally got back
Oh.
at 6:58, so 2 minutes to spare.
Wow.
So I
Okay.
am
Okay.
tired, sweaty. If Ryan Neeson saw me, he would ask me if I had a sunburn. Shout out to the Miami crew.
Dang. Okay. You said workout run. Are you training for something?
Yeah, I have a 10K race in like 2 weeks and then training for a
Shoot.
half marathon in October.
Yo, that's sick. I'm also training for a 10K race. I'm way
Sick.
more in
When's
shape
that?
than you. June, like my work has a Under Armour like thing that people can time themselves for half marathon qualification or something. I'm not doing any of that.
Nice.
I'm just doing it to try to run 10K, but
If you ever
you're
want to
much.
run, hit me up, bro.
You might have to fast walk while I run because like I'm pretty slow.
Hey, you running slow is how you get better, man. I'm not even joking.
No, I know. I know. It's very hard to run fast for anybody listening. It's very hard. All right. Well, I guess now that I feel emasculated and out of shape, we can move on to the matchups. So this is we're going to recap week. Technically, it's week four because week one wasn't a scoring period, which is great. So we have the highest scoring team this week. Do you know who it was off the top of your head?
This past week,
Yes.
I'm gonna say Jeffrey Chow.
It was not Jeffrey Chow. It was
Damn.
Garth Newton, actually. He had 339.6 points, which is crazy, and pretty much double Aiden's 179.8 points. Based on that fact alone, you're clearly surprised by this. What are your thoughts when you hear this matchup score?
Actually, I do recall seeing like later in the week that Garth was getting to the 300 marker. Obviously, really impressive. Only seven starts, so it's not like he was stacking the starts, but obviously, on that Saturday, basically a 100-point day, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, so he had 201 points from his pitching. Kind of even contributions across the board from guys like Brian Bayo and Tyler Glasnow and Zach Eflin, guys you'd kind of expect. And 136 points from the bats. He got 34 points from Dalton Varsho, which is kind of shocking because I thought Dalton Varsho was bad.
Well, Ross Atkins didn't, thank God.
A staunch defender of the Shatkins dynasty, I see. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
Well, you're lucky Neeson's not on the pod, or as I like to call him, Neezy P, because he would be on my side. So that's okay.
I'm sure many people would be on your side, but I feel good about the Jays this year. Just wait for the playoffs, man. Anything can happen in the playoffs.
Do you also feel good about the Leafs?
Yeah, actually I do, but
Really? Wow.
yesterday when they
Cool.
scored the tying goal to make it 2-2, I think, I was like, oh, of course they scored the tying goal. Like, Leafs are really good. And then 20 seconds later, like, no, actually not. So we'll see.
Well, not to get off track, I'll give a small antidote to everyone. So I went to Kawartha Dairy with my fiance probably like 2 hours ago to get her some ice cream, and I was wearing a Leafs hat. And the guy who served us was like, "It's a tough day to be a Leafs fan." And he looked genuinely sad. And I was like, "Yes, yes, it is." So there's a lot of people among us suffering today.
I mean, it's one loss, bro. Whatever. They're
I
still
know.
going to beat the Bruins. I have no
Wow.
doubt.
Okay.
I'm very
Yeah.
confident.
Wow. Okay. I kind of do, but you know what? Like, we'll move this back to baseball because I could talk to you about the Leafs all day. For Aiden, like Zach Gallen, Nathan Eovaldi, kind of disappointing. But Aiden's team this year in general, kind of disappointing, don't you think?
I mean, I don't really know what you were expecting out of him, bro. Like, Aiden's team is a team. Like, did you think he was going to be a playoff team, man?
Yes. Yeah. I have him in the power rankings as a playoff team. Yeah, I did. I definitely did.
I think that's a. I wouldn't be surprised if he made the playoffs, I guess. But, like, I don't know. He's not a lock to make the playoffs, you know? So, him having a week where he gets close to 200 points, but just under, is not really surprising. I think that's just within his normal range of outcomes, really.
Like, okay. So, obviously, Garth is not going to score 339 points every week. But Aiden, like, yeah, he's on a top team, but I think I have him. I think I'm like fifth or sixth in the last power rankings. Like, he's definitely not bad. His team to me is underperforming, but what do you see? Like, you see clearly his team being worse than I do. So what's the biggest issue with his team?
Well, okay. Like, I'm not trying to say that his team is shit or anything like that. But I think that scoring 180 is like not that surprising for a team that we would expect to be a 7 or 8 seed. You know, okay. I don't think he's going to score 180 every week. I think that, you know, he'll have plenty of weeks where he's in like the mid 200s, I'm sure. If he's as good as you say he is, I can't really make a snap judgment on that. But, you know, that's just fantasy baseball. Like, week to week, there's variance. And I don't think that you need to measure the worth of his team by 1 week where he put down 180.
Okay, well, on the flip side of that, I mean, we're not going to – if we're going to go by that, we're not going to judge Newton off his 339-point week. So is Newton a playoff team, and do you have him higher or lower than Aiden in your personal hierarchy of things?
I'd have him higher. I think they're both, like – it could go either way, right? Like, they could be in Europa, they could be in playoffs. I think there are a lot of teams in – that mix for like the last couple of seeds in the playoffs, which is a good thing. That's what we want. But for Newton, I feel like his team has, I view it as less of a threat than I did last year.
Okay.
Maybe he'll prove me wrong and keep putting up 340 every week, you know, but for now, I think his team is taking a bit of a step back from where it's been the past couple of years.
I think he would agree with that. And I think he'd also agree he's not going to put up 340 every week. So I think that's fair. Okay, well, let's move on to two teams that I hope you think will both be playoff teams. So we'll go on to Ryan and I's matchup last week. And Ryan kicked my butt. 319.3 to 226.8. I am sad by this performance, battling some injuries, but I'm sad. But Ryan's really good, and he showed it right here. Do you still have him as the best team in the league?
Yeah, I think you have to. Like, obviously, Chow has had a really hot start to the season. And I believe in Chow just because of – I mean, I think he's proven that he's one of the elite owners in the league. Yeah. But I would still – just on the merit of everything, have Ryan ahead of him. But I think like those two are like in a tier on their own above teams like you and I.
My power rankings disagree with you. I have Chow third, Neeson first, and you're in between them. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, sticking to Neeson here, like, you know, he's getting 40 points from Sonny Gray, and then his team is just so good. Like, it doesn't really matter who puts up the points every week because someone's going to. Like, Ronald Acuna has been terrible, like straight terrible. I think he has one home run. When I click on his stats, I mean, yeah, he has one home run. People are complaining. He's still 3 points per game. That's crazy. There's just so many good players on Ryan's team, to boil it down, that like if two or three of them suck in 1 week, it still doesn't matter. So 111 points from his bats, 207 from his pitching, which is pitching is like probably what you would think is his weak point, right? So is that surprising to you that he's putting up 200 points just on his pitching alone?
Yeah, I guess like looking at the names there, I wouldn't expect it. I think like he's done a really good job building his bullpen so far this year. So that's a big part of it. obviously. But honestly, you can't be too surprised with anything with Ryan. You know, on Saturday night, him and I were at the TFC game together, and he was like stressing about how it was like a 50-point matchup between you two, and like you were going to beat him. And
oh my God.
Not for a second did I believe that shit. So
I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
I mean, I'm the one who invited him, so I knew what I was getting into.
It's your own fault then. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine having to sit beside somebody who's up 50 points, sweating a loss. That would be terrible. But I guess the point that I'm trying to make, or the point I'm getting at, is if his pitching is going to put up 200 points, most people probably aren't going to have a chance against him in any week because his bats are his calling card. And if they take a week off, which, you know, you can argue 100 points is a week off for them, it's going to be a big problem. Like, I guess because we have you on the show, I have to ask, and it's really early, but I still got to ask, does he have a chance in your mind of taking that points record from you?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we added two additional bullpen spots. But I mean, even last year he came really close, and relative to the scoring level of everybody else in the season, he actually had a better season last year than the year where I set the points record. So Ryan could definitely do it. I'm sure he's always hungry to keep adding. So, I mean, his team will get better.
Yeah.
One question I did have for you, though, looking at this now, you got 9 starts last week and still only got 226.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? How did that happen?
The starts I added weren't very good. Darius Vines, I think, was one of them. Bailey Falter was the other. They had 4 points together. So that's part of it. The other part of it, I think, is injuries. Like, I've been kind of trumpeting, and some of it's my own fault. Like, people who I talk to on Slack are like, well, it's your fault for acquiring Tommy John pitchers and putting them on the IL. And that's true, and that's fair. But, like, Cody Bellinger, Luis Robert, Seiya Suzuki, Framber Valdez, those guys weren't acquired hurt. They just are hurt. So, I don't know. I'll be honest. Like, I think when I talk about like power rankings and all this stuff, like, we're all chasing to be the team to try to face Ryan, right? If we're talking about like a hierarchy. So I think like, I see myself as like, this is kind of like fine given the injuries, and I'm probably in the middle of a playoff pack. I don't know. How do you see things? Like, I probably put myself fourth, fifth, like in the league.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. I mean, I think, like, to be honest, probably even, like, in the battle for third, I think that you, me, there are probably a couple of other teams in that tier where we're all pretty even in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, like, the question I guess we're going to get to it is, like, how real you think Chow's start is. And, like, obviously I agree with you, Chow's probably the best manager in league history in terms of how good and smart he is, but we'll have to see on that. I think, I put you in a little bit ahead of me. I think your team is a little bit better, but we can move on. Like, we can move on to your matchup, because that way it'll segue into talking about you. So let's see, you faced Lim last week, and that was a W for you. Wasn't too much of a challenge. 238.6 to 175.7. Can't say I'm surprised, but one player who did really well for you, and I want to ask you about, because I've always kind of thought he was a bust, is CJ Abrams. Is this just a case of like late bloomer, or like, do you think he's playing over his head?
I mean, even last year he was like a top 7 shortstop, I think. The scoring adjustments we made to stolen bases a couple years back really helped him. And the thing with him was always, if he could tap into his raw power, and that's been the difference so far this season compared to last season. That's why he's like the third shortstop now instead of the seventh, is because he's been hitting more homers. So is it real? I hope so. I wouldn't be surprised if it was real, but I also, it's a realistic possibility that he's just on a heater right now. So either way, I would never qualify him as a bust. I think that he's a very rosterable player. Definitely a keeper for me. But yeah, obviously he's been a massive highlight for me this season.
Yeah, and I mean, for me with Abrams, like the issue's always been his like inability to make contact, right? He would always strike out a lot. And when he did impact the ball, it wasn't very hard. But this year, he seems to just be running a lot more. He seems to be hitting the ball more consistently. He still strikes out. I think he still strikes out a fair bit. But yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. I think another shout out to you, like a really shrewd under-the-radar move that people, I don't think, even realized, like I didn't realize until I looked at your roster, was that you traded for Christian Walker. I think it was after the draft. I could be wrong, but he's worked out really well for you as well. So I know for me, like your team has always been pitching dominant in my mind. Like I've always been like, yeah, the pitching is great, right? And getting Yamamoto definitely helped with that. But the bats are really putting it together as well. And so that's why I have you so high in the league hierarchy. But is there anything you're concerned about, anything you're looking to add to your team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still the bats, you know?
Yeah.
Like, some guys are hot right now. Other ones I believe in more. But they're still, like, my bats don't compare to, like, Ryan's bats, for example. I have a couple of guys who are on that level. But my guys are more like 2.5 points per game instead of, like, 3.5 points per game. So, like, that's still the area I'm looking to add. And I mean, it's probably going to be along the lines of how I added Christian Walker. Right now, I have a ton of high minors guys who will probably be hitting the majors this year. And a lot of those guys are going to be surplus to my needs. So, like, for Christian Walker, I actually, you know, I think Michael came out pretty well on that one. I gave him Colton Cowser and Kyle Manzardo.
Oh.
both those guys starting the year really well. Obviously Cowser, I don't believe in him being as good as he is in the majors right now, but I think he'll still be a good player. And that's kind of like the moves that I expect to see myself making probably closer to the deadline of, you know, seeing who's rebuilding and who wants to take on two or three prospects in exchange for like a star level bat.
Yeah, and Cowser having triple outfield eligibility is just nice. I'm with you. I don't know how real what he's doing is, but he's definitely better than I thought he was. So one of those rebuilding teams, though, Lim, most likely, might be hitting you up for prospects at the deadline. His team, I guess, to quote you, is about what I would have expected. It's not very good. He's still rostering Alek Manoah, who just got blown up in a triple-A outing. What hope is there for Lim's team going forward?
Paul Skeens.
Yes.
I mean, I think like for Lim, his roster is actually, I think, quite a bit better than what he's shown so far this year. He got really unlucky to lose Kodai Senga right at the beginning of the year. Also Jesus Lizardo massively underperforming right now. I will say he kind of fucked up taking AJ Puck third overall in the major league draft this year. Obviously, like Puck going to the rotation had a lot of potential just based on his prospect pedigree alone. But when you look at it and he could have had Imanaga, you know, you always got to side with the Asians. I think Lim should know that, but he didn't do that. So he's paying the price now.
Yeah, and outside of that, like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know what pick he was selected. I'm going to look quickly. But I thought Matt McLean was also available. Maybe I'm wrong in that.
I think McLean was second. Puck went third. Okay. I was looking at this earlier this week. Imanaga went fifth. And I think Jordan Walker went fourth, RIP.
Well, he's gone. Yeah, he's not doing great. But Imanaga,
well, he just got sent down.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he's in the minors now, so. But Imanaga, like, he was had a lot of pedigree coming into the season. It would have been a good pick. So,
I mean, like, to be fair to Lim, I didn't believe in Imanaga before the draft. I still don't believe that he's what he has been so far this season. But obviously, like, AJ Puck is going back to the bullpen now. So it's over for him, basically, right? So,
yeah, but I think like I think with Imanaga, and I agree with you, but like even if Imanaga could be like 90% of what Kodai Senga is, the floor on Imanaga is a lot higher than Puck's was, because Puck was going to be at worst like an eighth inning guy, right? Which isn't first round value at all. Whereas Imanaga's worst case scenario might be like a number four or five starter, which probably still has a fair amount of value. Yeah, I mean, Lizardo underperforming. I mean, he's turning it around. Like, he put up 16 points. He had a good start last week. I don't know why he's still rostering Manoa, other than he won't cut ties. Like, it's...
I mean, I think for a team in his position, like, there's no cost, right? Like, you don't have to be maximizing every roster spot.
Yeah.
Because your team is not trying to get into the playoffs. I think for Lim, he definitely wants to get into Europa and try and get as high as he can just for draft lottery odds. But Manoa isn't going to cost him that. And Manoa, as much as with every passing week, it's seeming like a less and less probable outcome, still has potential ceiling that few players do have, or few players that you could pick up on free agency at least.
Ricky Romero 2.0. That's how I see it. Okay, let's move on to a couple of hot starts. So you mentioned Chow earlier. We'll bring him in now. He beat Ben 304.6 to 204. Vinny Pasquantino seems to have turned things around. Michael King looks like a good starting pitcher, which isn't surprising, I suppose. But for Chow, like, obviously you're buying the hot start based on what I've heard from you so far. I don't know if I am, but the managerial skills I really do trust, and you seem to think Chow is the second team in the league, so, or to at least on par with Ryan. So are we all chasing down Chow? Like, what's the deal for you?
Yeah, it's, for me, it's less about the roster and more about Chow. You know, some of these players on his team, sure, I don't think that they're going to keep doing what they're doing. But at the same time, I do trust him to maximize his roster. If he's going to fall off, I would appreciate him doing it before next week when I face him. but, you know, for now, just looking at his points total, like, I think he has over 100 points more than my team so far, and we're only 3 weeks into the season. So how can I not believe in him, you know?
Well, I think part of that is like he's been getting a lot of like fluky performances. Like, I don't know how much you believe in Marcell Ozuna. I know, great year last year, or how much you believe in like Vinny Pasquantino being decent, or like, I'm going through his roster, I mean, like Michael King, who I mentioned, or Yusei Kikuchi being like amazing. Like, I don't know. I don't know how long that stuff is going to last. If it doesn't, his team's probably significantly worse.
I mean, I think like a lot of the names that you just listed off are names that I'm not surprised that they're doing well. Like, maybe they're not exactly as good as they've been so far, but those are still really good players. I think where I would more question it would be like, Reynaldo Lopez got him 20.5 points, right? Like, Tyler Anderson has been hot for him. Those kinds of names are more questionable for me than the Kings or the Pasquantinos. Mm-hmm. I think the interesting one is probably Jose Caballero. He's kind of popped off this year. And if he can keep that up, then I don't know. There are relatively few holes, it would seem, in at least in Chow's bats. I do believe in Kikuchi, so I don't know. That I can see him continuing to do well, you know?
You do believe in the Jays, so I mean, I personally don't believe in Caballero. I don't believe in Chaz McCormick, like, or Ryan Jeffers. Like, I don't believe in these guys. But I do concede what you're saying. So Chaz probably a lot better than I had him. I had to bump him up six spots in a two-week gap that happened. So clearly I've been wrong. And on the flip side of that, for Ben, is Ben just a Europa team? Is that oversimplifying things?
Let me look at where he's at right now.
I think he's one and oh, he's two and one, so he's eighth currently. Yeah.
Yeah, I would put him probably in like the list of teams that could sneak into the playoffs, but I'm not expecting him to get into the playoffs, right? I think like he has a good team, a team that's competitive for like the, I don't know, the 12 to 7 seeds. It's probably what I would put his range at.
I think, and teams like Ben, I always wonder, like he has star players, right? Like he has a Kyle Tucker, and it's like, would he be better served splitting Kyle Tucker into two really good players to fill a hole, or is he better keeping Kyle Tucker? That I guess is depending on like your personal view of things and like roster construction, but like his pitching is kind of bad. He traded away Max Fried, so it's even worse. Those are just kind of the things I wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Personally, I'm of the opinion that it doesn't make sense to split one good player into or one great player into multiple good players because good players are easier to come by. And I don't know, you're like, it's not that valuable to be the seven seed, right? Like that fucks up your draft lottery odds. You're not going to win the championship unless you get like really, really lucky. So like, what's the point of it, you know?
There you have it. What's the point, Ben? Don't be in the playoffs. Just be in Europa. Ask the man who got the first overall pick
Didn't mean to
himself.
sound that mean. Please don't uninvite me from your wedding.
You're actually gonna go, so really
Oh,
don't
of
invite me from the
course.
wedding. Oh, I need videos of this. Okay. The other person who's doing really well and he hasn't gotten his flowers yet, so I'm here to give them to him. Former host of the show, Jamil Husson, 271 over Knicks 230.1, and Jamil is 3-0, which I find super shocking, like crazy shocking, like more shocking than Chao being 3-0 shocking. Jordan Westberg been amazing. Cary Carpenter had a great week. Do you buy this hot start flex?
I mean, I want to say no.
Okay.
Mean, he has like so many pitchers that are like doing crazy right now.
Yep.
And just looking at where his team was last year, seeing him put up like the kind of scores that he's been putting up this year, I really don't like it personally as a team that spent, you know, like 3, 4 years rebuilding. I don't believe that he's going to keep this up. I don't believe that he's going to make the playoffs. But he started off well enough that he's probably going to get himself a pretty high Europa seed.
I don't buy the hot start. I think there's no way that like Ranger Suarez, Michael Wacha, I mean Bryce Miller is actually good, and Edward Cabrera could actually be good. Garrett Crochet coming back down to probably what he is, which is a mid rotation arm. I think you're already starting to see some of the regression in the pitching. And as for the bats, like I don't think they're particularly great. Like Jordan Westberg, I really do like. And there's a couple other guys where I'm like, all right, sure. But like is Jesse Winker worth rostering? Is Brian Daly, he's not even on his roster anymore. Cary Carpenter, I don't believe in. Like you can just go down the list. Like I think it would be better for Jamil almost to just be really bad and bottom out and kind of retool than it is to have this false hope
Well, I
he's
mean,
gonna be good.
the way to get the best possible draft pick this year is to win Europa. Like, that's his path. So, bottoming out is not helpful. I do think like he's on the path to set himself up to give himself an opportunity to do that. But yeah, I don't believe in this team.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a separate discussion whether we believe in him to win Europa, because I also don't believe in him to win Europa. I think he'll get a high seed and
No.
get blown out in the first round. Like, I think that's what would happen. So, not that Jamil's like a bad manager, but he's not like Chao, where I trust him to overcome talent discrepancies. And on the flip side of
Do you
this,
recall though ever seeing a team this bad start out this hot? I'm not sure if I can.
No, I don't. I don't remember a team this bad starting out this hard. Like, I had him in the Vays discussion to begin the year, I think. And here we are. So, yeah. I don't know. Is it luck? Is it managerial prowess? I don't know. But on the other side of this matchup, there are two guys managing this team. Maybe one. I don't know. You would have that information. Nick and Kyle. And they've been making some moves. This team is still decidedly mid because the bats have issues and the pitching is probably overperforming what it should be right now. I kind of see Jamil and Nick very similarly. Like, they're both probably in Europa and they're both probably not very good.
Yeah, I don't think that that's a hot take. I will say I appreciate how active Kyle has been in his first couple of months in the league. I think my impression is that both him and Nick are doing pieces of this. I know Nick was the one who negotiated with me to get Bo Naylor. Yeah, I think these are probably, they'll probably net out as two pretty similar teams. Nice for them to pick up Reed Garrett, future superstar, who I dropped for fuck me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember looking at the wire and thinking about picking up Reed Garrett and then just being like, no, he's bad. Now he's great. So, yeah, don't feel too bad. Do you know who negotiated the Francisco Lindor trade? Because that was arguably a lot of people saying highway robbery. I agree. I don't know how you can just get Tristan McKenzie for Lindor. That seems like a franchise setting back kind of trade.
I think that was Kyle, and I think that he'll probably regret that trade in the future and learn from it. But his reasoning was that Lindor was getting older and starting out cold, so he got a young pitcher for him. Tristan McKenzie has had a very good year before, so theoretically, there's upside there. I think that I probably wouldn't have done that trade, but that's part of the learning process, and maybe he'll prove us all wrong.
It's very diplomatic of you. I mean, frankly, Kyle, we've all been there. I think my first trades were with Philip, and they were terrible. So we've all been there. I think I traded him Jose Ramirez for like nothing. I feel like that's what happened.
I think Philip gave it back to the league in the, what was it, the Zach Greinke deal?
No, that was pain.
Greinke for Shipley?
That was pain. Pain did Greinke for Shipley. Philip did other things.
Oh, that was pain. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Philip catching strays. I don't know. No, maybe I got Jose Ramirez off him for nothing. I don't know. Okay. Well, I don't know. But I made bad trades when I started. It happens. Because you don't know what the value of guys are, and I get Tristan McKenzie being young. I wish someone had offered me Francisco Lindor for Tristan McKenzie when I had him, because that would have been great. Tristan McKenzie also has like a torn UCL, so that's also kind of bad. I know for a fact they're never going to trade DeGrom and Altuve because Nick would never let that happen. But in a hypothetical vacuum, should they be looking to trade those guys? If you were them, would you trade Altuve?
I mean, based on the Lindor trade, I would say yes. But I understand why they wouldn't want to do that. You do get attached. I mean, maybe you don't know about this, but
I don't.
I get it. I get attached to some of my players. I understand not wanting to trade them. And it's not all about winning. Fantasy baseball is also about fun and enjoying your team. So, I can't knock it too hard.
Well, you know how you really enjoy your team? By winning. So, Tyler won his matchup like a true man enjoying his team. 216.8 to 149.2 over the Raccoons. And I have two completely different takes on this, which is Tyler's team could be great with better management, and the Raccoons team is just really terrible. Do you disagree with either of these statements?
Cam Jathish and I have a running theory that Tyler's team is cursed.
No.
Based on the I mean, you just said it yourself, right? Like the team could be great with better management. So we replaced the manager and we're still saying the same thing.
That doesn't seem like a curse. It seems like incompetency. I mean, I don't know. That's me.
I mean, maybe these guys would be good fantasy managers on another team. You never know. I do agree with your take on the Midland Raccoons, though. Hate to say it. I love Mark, Bobby Lee, and Ryan Ramil, of course. But
yeah.
It's not looking good for them.
Okay, so with the Tyler thing, like my theory, much more plausible than your theory, is that Tyler is just Ash. Like Ash just made an application to get into the league, and it's just Tyler under an alias. Seems much more plausible because this team looks eerily the same to when Ash ran it, which is like it doesn't care. I mean, it did get 8 starts, so I guess that's something Ash would never do. But it had 0 matchup acquisitions, which means it just happened to get 8 starts. And there's just holes on this roster. Like, it drives me nuts when a team with like Fernando Tatis and Rafael Devers and, you know, George Kirby and Freddie Peralta, like, why is this team bad? It shouldn't be bad. There are teams with way less doing way more.
It's the curse, man. The ghost of Ash is possessing Tyler and preventing him from making moves.
Yeah, he's not allowing Tyler to answer on Slack either. So that's good. Ash, if you're listening, please let go of our boy. For the Raccoons, I
need an exorcism.
We need an exorcism or voodooism or, I don't know, something. But Bobby Witt is really good. That is clearly a building block for the Raccoons and a great one at that. But the rest of this team, like, you could literally take it or leave it. And the prospect pipeline is not looking so hot either. So it might be a while for these guys to even
I think they early last year, I know they kind of leaned into trying to go for it. Mm-hmm. Traded me Kobe Mayo for I forget which reliever and another prospect for I think Tommy Edman. I think they kind of drained their pool of resources last season, and now we're seeing the fruits of those labors.
So this kind of goes back to my other question for you before we move on, but like, would you trade Bobby Witt for a bunch of prospects and rebuild, or would you just hold Bobby Witt?
No,
be really I think bad.
Bobby Witt should theoretically be good for a long enough time that he'll still be relevant when the Raccoons could theoretically be good again. Right. So I think that, he's really young. This is what, like his third season in the bigs?
He's 22 or 23. Yeah. That makes
sense. They should definitely don't trade him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 22.
Unless you get like a crazy haul.
Yeah. Okay. Well, free rebuilding advice from Flex and I. You're welcome.
I'm not sure that my rebuilding advice is very useful to anybody considering how many championships I've won.
Yeah, but like, it's not like you're prohibited from winning any championships in the future. You could win this year. Who knows?
I don't.
Okay, that's super negative. You know what? Since we're on the negative path, let me get my anger out, my weekly anger out at Chris, who won his matchup 234.9 to 191.7 over Ian. Both these teams disgust me. Chris, because he's Chris, and Ian because he's wasted prime Ohtani and Vlad, like the Angels have wasted prime Ohtani and Trout. And I don't have a lot to say here other than I want to talk about Vlad and people saying that like he's just bad. I know you don't believe that as a Shacken supporter, but where do you see Vlad actually falling on the spectrum of good player and superstar?
I think the realistic outcome is that most of his seasons are, for fantasy purposes at least, good player. Mm-hmm. And he'll have a couple like superstar type seasons. I think he's definitely, I expect him to have one or two more of those at least. But obviously it doesn't seem like that's going to be super consistently the case right now. I'm still trying to be optimistic. Like it's only 3 weeks into the season or something like that. So I think that I'm not judging him based on this season so far, but obviously last season was disappointing, right? So,
well, okay. So Ian's team, I think we can agree, is pretty devoid of a lot of talent. He does have some good players. He does have, like, Marcus Semien, who's getting older, Otani, who's obviously one of the best players in the league, if not the best player, and Vlad. If you own this
Cal team, Rally too?
No, we don't name him. How can you be on board with him? Like, if you like the Jays, how can you agree with that Cal Rally is good? Right?
He's
talking about.
I mean, I don't care if he's talking shit about John Snyder, bro. Like,
okay,
you do you. Good for
okay.
you.
Okay.
Bro, like.
Okay. Switch hair, talk. Shit talker extraordinaire, Cal Rally, also good. If you own this team, what would you do with it?
I would probably blow it up. I mean,
okay, that's what I would have done too. I just want to know if you felt the same way. I would blow
it up. I don't know. Like with like Vlad, I would probably keep him until he has a big season again. Otani, I'd probably keep. But the rest of it is like,
if you put Otani on the trade right. block, like, I feel like you can get multiple core pieces back.
And I think no matter what, you're still going to, like, lose that trade, though. Like, you can get a lot for him. Somebody will give you, like, a godfather offer. But, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd it's still going to be really hard to win that.
Yeah. Well, the other side of the coin is you're just Chris. And you're just perpetually bad all the time. And you enter Europa every year and you get absolutely fucking curb stomped every year in Europa. And you don't enjoy your team because you have Freddie Freeman and that's it. Oh, and
you know, I think Chris is too busy gooning, I guess. And to quote you, Jeremiah, I guess too busy feeling his scrotum shake to its core to be managing his team. Although I no respect to Chris because after I used IE properly in Slack, he complimented me on it. So obviously he knows his grammar, unlike you.
That's true. Nobody ever called me Grammarly or anything, but I don't... Like, do you know what his team name means? What is an addicted gooner? What does that mean?
Do you want to know, bro?
It's probably sexual, right? Because there's a Japanese girl in his photo, so it must be sexual.
I think you could look it up, bro. I'm pretty sure that's like Belle Delphine. She's not Japanese.
okay.
A gooner is somebody who just like jerks off all day and like...
Okay, okay.
It's like do you know what edging is?
Yes, I do.
It's like somebody who edges like for weeks on end. Maybe not weeks, but like all day.
Okay.
Long time.
Dang. Okay. That's
or really... alternatively an Arsenal fan, which I know Chris isn't, so I'm pretty sure like it's the other way around.
Okay. I would have rather he be an Arsenal fan. My boss is
he's
like,
a Liverpool fan.
Chris? Yeah, my boss is a Liverpool fan. He went to go see Liverpool and Man City, I think, like last month.
Here's a plot twist. Is Chris your boss?
I mean, unless he changed his name legally, no.
Have you met this person
before? I also don't know
before?
What Chris looks like. Chris? No, I've never met
Yeah,
him.
So you don't know. Like, it could be
know,
Chris,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah. Someone sent me a photo of Chris on Slack after this so I could figure it out because I would be really upset if that is Chris. Man, that'd be crazy. Okay. All right. After that mindbender, we'll move on. The Battle of the Dicks, speaking of gooners, a couple dicks here. 220.2 for Tilo, 169. Nice for Richard. Okay. I think Tilo is really bad. And I think Richard is actually good. Do you think that I'm wrong, or do you think they're the same? Like, RKR is good.
I mean, I expect Tilo. I expect more out of Tilo. Obviously, he made some managerial mistakes this offseason.
Yeah.
But he's had a very competitive team for a very long time, and I think he still has the core pieces to continue doing that, in my opinion. As for RKR, I love RKR, but I don't believe in this team at all.
Okay, so let's focus on that, because I know we're getting long in the tooth here, but why do you not believe in RKR's team? Because I find that really interesting, actually.
Well, I guess, like, what about this team do you believe in? Like, Rutschman and Soto, cool. More than
You don't
cool,
believe in,
obviously. Like, those are two, like, really
yeah.
great players, but, like, who else
You
does he
don't
have?
believe in Tristan Casas?
No. Tristan Casas is shit. Also, he's,
What?
like, out for half the
He's
season
hurt.
now, so.
He's hurt. But like, you don't believe in like,
Tristan Casas is no Riley Green.
What?
I said it.
What? Dude, Riley Green is like a fourth outfielder that has never been anything more than that. This is his
Bro,
like
Riley
first
Green
season
is
doing
like
anything.
one of the top outfielders in the league this year.
No, he's not.
Position rank two, bro. Position rank two.
What's his position?
Center fields.
What? Okay, like half the center fielders are hurt. Cody Bellinger's hurt. Luis
Bro,
Robert's fucking
Riley
hurt.
Green
Like,
is like 10 times the player that
don't.
Tristan
Oh my
Casas
God,
is.
don't. Oh my. Okay. Like, could Riley Green be breaking out and be like a top 50 player? Yeah, definitely. I will hear that. But Tristan Casas is not like
Tristan Casas ain't
far
that,
off
bro.
that
Tristan Casas is
either.
shit.
What do you have against Tristan Casas? Like, why?
He's so bad.
Like, okay.
All you need to know is he's
20,
bad, bro.
2023, 160 points for Riley Green. I can promise you Tristan Casas had more than that by a lot. A
Okay.
fuckload more than that. 280.
It's
280,
one
let's say.
season, bro. One season.
Riley
Get
Green's
over it.
been garbage for like 4 seasons. When was he called up?
Tristan
I
Casas
can't
was
get over
garbage
it.
for every season before last year, and now he's garbage again this year. So
You okay? All right.
Tristan
This is
Casas
like,
has the Ryan Neeson stink on him still.
does Gunnar Henderson have the Ryan Neeson stink on him?
No, because he is obviously a really sick player, which Tristan Casas is not.
Okay. Do you believe in
I
Josh
will say
Young when he's
for
healthy?
who has him?
RKR. Sorry, we're back to
Maybe. I don't
RKR.
know. Like
Why?
it's tough to say. Like he's a prospect, right? Could be good, could be bad. I'm more interested in talking about Jung-Hoo Lee for the
I was going
Asian
to say Jung
factor,
Ho Lee.
obviously.
Yeah, you believe in him. It's kind of been
No.
bad. Okay,
But
yeah.
obviously I'm all about the Asians.
Yeah,
And
I know.
he could theoretically pull like what's the Ha Sung Kim? He could do the Ha Sung Kim
Yeah,
path and like
yeah.
be bad for 2
Be
years and
good.
then be good.
Yeah.
So
Okay, but what about the pitching? Like the pitching and the bullpen are actually like really good. We don't agree with that. We
he
don't
has
think
good
that.
relievers. He has good relievers. I don't really care for any of his starters.
You don't like Grayson Rodriguez? I'm upset. You don't like
No.
Joe Ryan? What?
I
Okay.
mean, Grayson Rodriguez has a chance, but Joe
Okay.
Ryan is like kind of mid. If those are your top two guys, like
Okay.
rip.
Well, okay. All right. Well, there you go. We can agree to disagree on this point, but we're gonna have to see, because I'm gonna like remember that take at the end of the year, and maybe I'll remember it because I'm just wrong. I don't know, but we're gonna have to see. All right, let's move on. Wrap up the last two matchups here. The closest matchup of the week, actually, right here. Mike and the Illuminati winning by 0.3 over the Stubby Clap Clappers. I have a goal, and I don't know if you know Cam's dad at all, but my goal before I leave this league, or I retire or whatever, is to get a trade with Garth MacInnes. I'm trying really hard. He just ignores me.
I think you're gonna die disappointed on that one, because
Why?
like I have the connections to go and like talk to Garth MacInnes personally. I've done it many
Okay.
times before,
Okay.
and I'm pretty sure I could go in person to him and offer him, like when I had Bryce Harper, I could have offered him Bryce Harper for literally nothing, And I'm pretty sure he would not have traded with me just because he
Why?
doesn't want to trade. So,
Really? He's out against trading? Like he's just like, I don't want to trade, period.
yeah. I mean, that's my impression of it.
Will you take me to
I
go
mean,
see
Garth
Garth
McInnes
McKinnon?
is sick though.
Will you take me?
I don't
Wait, like
know if I don't
sick as in
I
cool
don't
or
know
like
if
sick as in actually
yeah,
sick?
sick as in cool, not sick as in like hospitalized.
Okay, good. Okay.
Sorry.
Was worried there. I was like, you
I
dying?
could take you, but I'm pretty
Okay.
sure that he would never allow me to see him again. Although
Nice.
at this point I may never see him again anyways, because
Oh, okay.
I don't go to Cam's parents' place that often, but
Okay.
I don't think it's worth it for me. So
I'll figure this out. I'll make it worth your while. We got, and then we can document it for like week content. Watch it happen. Okay, Mike's side of things. Because Mike got Lindor and flipped him for Aaron Nola. So we can talk about that if you want, because Mike's team's not really worth talking about. It's not very good.
I mean, I think for Mike, he has some semi-interesting pieces right now. And what's going to be more
Yeah.
interesting is seeing where his team's at the end of the year when he's called up some of his prospects. He
Yeah,
has a
yeah.
pretty massive high minors list, and I'm sure some of those guys will hit. Like, obviously, Colton Cowser doing really well right now, like we talked about before.
Colt Keith.
So I think
Yeah.
his team is going to look pretty different at the end of the season. And that's what I'm interested in seeing. At that
Yeah, okay.
point, for his sake, I hope that he's in Europa so that he
Yeah.
can take advantage of that. But we'll see.
Fair enough. All right, let's get to the last matchup, which involves Cam, ironically. They lost to Graham, which is kind of surprising. Graham 217.4, the squad 195.1. Gosh. I mean, Cam and Jathish like are like chow for me. Like I view them as like really great managers. I think that they can overcome big talent discrepancies. But I'm worried about their team. Like their prospect system hasn't gone nearly the way I think a lot of people thought it would, and they have some holes. Do you think they're a playoff team?
Yes, just because I know that like there are very few teams in the league that are going to squeeze out every ounce of possible value out of players. Like there are only a couple teams that are streaming bullpen, and they're one of them. So, I think they have a good enough team to sneak into the playoffs like they did last year. And that's kind of their MO of, maybe make a big deadline deal to try and get some help and then just try and out optimize the other teams in the playoffs, which they have a chance. They always are competitive. I agree that the team is like looking kind of mid right now. They might be mad at me. I'm sure I'm gonna get some angry DMs later today or tomorrow. But I do think that they'll make the playoffs.
And what about like how do you see Graham? Because Graham to me, like we're gonna quickly talk about two trades and he's in one of them, but like he's making moves to try to make his team better. And I think this team could be a lot better than it was last year. I think he could make the playoffs. Because he was high Europa last year, right? I think he was like 9th or 10th, but he lost. So he could either win Europa or be a low seed in the playoffs. That's how I see him.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. And he's another one of those teams in that big, like probably 7 to 12
Yeah.
range. I've noticed as well, like you said, that he's trying to make moves to really step up his team. So
Yeah.
we'll just have to see how that goes. It's I appreciate his activity, so.
Yeah, me too. I mean, anybody who can like contribute a message or talk on Slack, make a trade, do a Better Know and Owner podcast reboot with me, all good things. That was my plug for me trying to get Better Know and
I
Owner
mean, I'm
going
very
again.
excited about this coming back. Unfortunately, I've already been interviewed for that, so I'm off the table, but there are lots of guys that I would like to hear from.
Yeah, well, it's been pointed out to me that I should try to get Tyler on there. So, He's primary target number one here. We can get it going.
That'd be sick.
It would. Yeah, it would be sick. All right. So let's talk quickly, super quickly. Two trades that went down that I picked for us to talk about. One is the Miko Horner, Jordan Walker for Max Fried trade. I actually like this for both teams. I think it could probably work out well for both teams. I didn't expect Jordan Walker to be sent down, obviously, but you know, if you're Ben, you might be holding on to him anyway. Do you have a side in this deal that you like better?
I think with with the Jordan Walker news, you got to look positively at that for Graham. Obviously, he got the higher pick in the deal as well.
Yes.
You know, I think for Jordan Walker, I do still believe in his potential, but I kind of agree with a lot of the sentiment that I've been seeing lately that he needs a trade out of St. Louis. I think St. Louis is one team now that I'm starting to, when I'm scouting for the minor league draft, I'm hesitant to take guys from St. Louis. Their development has not been very good lately. So that might be what he's waiting for. I think there's big potential there for Ben to win in the long term, but right now I think you gotta, or at least for me, I like it for Graham.
Yeah, I agree. St. Louis is dog shit at developing prospects, especially outfielders. They have like five of the same guy that were all top prospects, so that's good. Okay, the other trade, super quick. Matt Brash and Tyler Glass now for Kyle Harrison and some prospects. People seem to like this a lot for Ryan, obviously, because Glass now is like the flashy big name. But Glass now also can't stay healthy. And Kyle Harrison has been bad this year, but he has a good minor league track record. Is this as one-sided as everybody makes it seem?
I don't think it's one-sided. I mean, you saw Jatheesh vote for Newton on that one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Typically, I'm pretty aligned with how Cam and Jatheesh think. Obviously, Ryan's getting a ton of value right now, as if he needed it. Although there is risk, of course, with Glasnow. But I do think that he gave up a lot of potential. And, you know, I guess Garth Newton is kind of rebuilding right now based on this trade. And I think this will set him up pretty well for the future. I still like Kyle Harrison. Obviously, what he does this season, I don't know. Drew Gilbert was really hyped up last year when he was traded to the Mets. The other two guys I know less about. Obviously, I know Casey is Canadian, but I haven't really looked at his stuff that much. But I think like the point that I'm trying to make is that Garth got a lot of future value. I wouldn't be surprised if in the long term we look at this as a win for Garth. And I'm guessing that he'll probably be flipping Montero for some more prospects in the future as well.
Yeah, I mean, the future value is interesting. Like, I still believe Kyle Harrison a lot. I don't know why he's not throwing his secondaries, but he's not. His fastball has dropped in velocity, but I think that's probably like an injury thing or a mechanical thing that he can fix. I like Cassie a lot, actually. I think he's really good. Yeah, I mean, if Glasnow stays healthy, it could work really well for Ryan, but that's going to be a big if.
I think it's a pretty fair trade on the whole.
Yeah, yeah. So that wraps up week four, which brings us to week five. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the two teams, and I'll tell you who's up and by how much. And you will pick, and I will pick. For people keeping track at home, Neeson was here in week one, and he went 9-1 with the picks. I went 7-3 that week. So I haven't counted the week where I was alone because who am I playing against? So you get to be in the guest chair and add to the guest score. You're up. You got to lead because Neeson's great. We will start with your matchup out of courtesy. You are up by 101 points over RKR. Should I put you down for yourself?
Yes, I'm going to win.
Okay. I agree. Ryan is up 16 points on Aiden, 130 to 114. Who do you have in that matchup?
Ryan.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, like, I think, like, it's pretty tough to pick against Ryan in any matchup, you know?
No, I agree. Okay, close matchup. Nick is up 2 points on Tyler.
This is an interesting one.
Yeah, agree.
I think I'm going to go with Tyler. Like, I do think that he has a good roster, like we've talked about, and he has been, for the most part, seemingly managing his lineup, which might be enough to get past the men, or the men, I guess, now.
The men, yeah, they got to change that. I'm going to take the men because I want to differentiate, and they've been doing pretty good. So two heads are better than one. The Midland Raccoons are up 13 points on Ben. What do we think?
This is a tough one. I was going to look at how many starts they had. Then I got an ad from ESPN. So,
so
fun I'm bad. Just going to say Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to take Ben too. But I just also refuse to like make all the same picks as you. So I'm going to go out on a limb and take the Raccoons and probably regret it. But two heads are better than one. Chris is up. Chris is up 28.
The title of this podcast.
Yes, two heads are better than one. I'll make that happen. 28 points over Jameel. 104 to 76. Is Chris going to hold on? Is Jameel going to come back?
Let's go with Jameel on this one. I do see him cooling down, but he should still be good enough to beat Chris.
I agree. Chris is dog water, so I gotta go with Jameel as well. Okay, so I'm playing Mike, and I'm up almost 80 points, 138 to 59.
I want to see if I can bully you into picking the opposite of me on this one.
No.
Obviously, I'm picking you.
Yeah, I'm not picking Mike. I can't do it. I know how many times I've left. I got a lot. I'm going to go with me. Okay. Chow and RK Chow and Tilo are playing. Chow is up 48 points, 168 to 120. You said you believe in Tilo.
Yeah, and earlier this week, you know, Chow did have a much lower point total than this. It looked like it was going to be a cold week for him, but that turned around real quick. So I'm still going to have to go with Chow in this one. Ugh. I'm probably just going all chalk, so you don't need to keep picking different from me.
Yeah, I gotta go Chow. Okay. So we've done this. So we have Ian, and he is up 55 points over Newton.
55 points over Newton. Damn.
Yeah, 128 to 73.
I'm gonna go with Garth on this one. He's only used one start so far, compared to Ian's four. So, I mean, I don't know if he has more starts lined up, but I'll go with Garth.
Okay, I'll take Ian just because that's a huge lead. That's a big lead. Okay, Graham is up 63 points over Lim. I think we're both going to go Graham here. Lim is terrible. Yeah,
tough to go the other way on this one.
Yeah, Graham for both of us. Okay, this matchup is just fun. The squad against Garth McInnes. A reason to go to the McInnes household. And give your fan though. So there you go.
It would be pretty jokes to see Daddy Mac drop an L on Cam and Jatish, but I just can't see it happening, man. Like,
okay, I want to go.
No way. I'm going to go with the squad.
Okay, he's 0-3 to start the year. I remember last year, Daddy Mac was like. It's like 5-0 to start, and Newton and I were debating whether he was going to be like amazing or not, and he was like literally almost 500 again.
I'm sure he'll still find a way to go 9-10.
Yeah, or like 8-11, something like that. Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, that was speedy, but we got through everybody, I believe, and if we didn't, fuck you, your matchup doesn't matter. yeah, I mean, is there anything else that you need to get off your chest, or are you just going to go have a shower and eat some dinner?
Probably that NFL draft tonight, bro. So,
oh yeah, yeah,
go
yeah,
Chargers.
yeah.
But yeah, I think
they have a high pick.
It's been a, yeah, pick five. Hopefully they trade back or take Marvin Harrison.
I was going to say, do you want them to take Marvin Harrison?
If they take a tackle at five, you may never hear from me again.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, the Bills traded their best wide receiver for nothing. So I feel your pain. But I also think Marvin Harrison Jr. would be sick on the Chargers. Be great. So
maybe the Bills will trade up.
Yeah, for who, though? Like, who are they going
to
go for?
Get yourself Rome Odunze. He's supposed to still be a blue chip wide receiver, so you can probably get him at, like, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, 10, 12, yeah. I mean, if the Bills – like, the Bills could do nothing, and I won't care. But they're going to – when they miss the playoffs this year, you won't hear from me because that's just ridiculous. But it's okay. Sorry, I interrupted you in your rant of how things were great.
I didn't really have anything else valuable to say, so – thanks for having me.
Okay.
I probably won't
be
every week, but had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on. I mean, we appreciate it. People don't want to just hear me talk all the time. It's not fun doing a podcast alone. It's very sad. So thank you. Thank you for joining.
I'm interested to see who you get next week.
Yeah. I'm going to, you know what? We might have to go back to the watering hole and see if Newton's available, but we'll see. We'll see. I should get someone from like my family. That would be fun, right? People would want
that. That would be sick. I'd love that.
Yeah, like, I don't know if they know anything about baseball, but maybe we'll do that. They could just, like, judge people's names. See how that goes. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Flex, for joining. And as somebody used to say around here, good night and good fantasy.